This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Thursday, the 4th of January, 2016. My name is Patrick Smith. Happy New Year, everybody. A new year, and hopefully a year with a lot of potential for the Belfast Giants. The year certainly ended in a great fashion, two wins against the Brayhead Clan and the Edinburgh Cattles. We'll come on to those in a second. Davey and Sis, join us. How are you, boys?
Yeah, all good, Paddy. All good, mate.
Get on, Paddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, indeed.
It's the 4th of January, is that right?
It
4th
is.
Of January. And I have yet to meet a person in person. I've had plenty of Happy New Years over text, phone number. I've yet to see face-to-face person that has said Happy New Year to me. Isn't that hectic?
It is. But at what point does that stop? I had people today at work saying it. It's like the 4th. Do you say it the first time you see somebody? Like, I'm not going to see somebody about the mid of February. When I see them, to say Happy New Year, because it's the first time I saw them. When do you stop?
I'm boycotting, and I haven't said it to anybody before.
Fair enough. Stop them. Fair enough.
You need to get out more, Davey.
I'm
going to start the show with a couple of thank yous. First of all, I want to thank everybody who came along to the A View from the Bridge live at McCool's last Friday, before the game against the Edinburgh Capitals. I usually stand with like sideways on, so I'm not really looking around at the crowd, but at one point I looked around and the crowd was massive. There were like nearly 200 people in there, and it was very, very surprising, very humbling. Thank you to everybody who came along to hear us speak. The crowd got bigger once Sis left. I don't know whether that's a thing to point out or not. And thanks to you guys, and Robert Fitzpatrick, who spoke very well. Davey, I thought it went very well.
It was a lot of fun, Paddy. The live shows are a lot of fun. And as you say, I don't know at what point. I was obviously preparing for the cycle in my head and stuff, and I hadn't looked up that much. I was trying to get warmed up a wee bit, stretch and stuff. And I looked up towards the end, and it was absolutely ram. But yeah, I think the main thing that came out of that live show was the content of what Robert said and how he put it across. It's a shame that it wasn't. It's one of those ones that we just haven't recorded. I don't know if anybody has the audio from it, but he spoke about the potential for another rink in Belfast, how important more ice is going to be to making Belfast Giants more mainstream. And I think I put out a tweet there the other day about attendances this season. And I know you're comparing apples and oranges when you say Belfast Giants versus the rugby or versus the football, but in terms of bums on seats or people coming through turnstiles, whatever way you want to put it, we're averaging 4,000 plus per game, and without a dig at Linfield or Glentoran or Crusaders or whatever, we are mainstream. This is a mainstream sport. This is a sport that's getting 4,000 or 5,000 people per game, whereas you'd be lucky if you added the Irish League to get that on a Saturday afternoon. So, what Robert was saying is put pressure on people if you can. Keep getting people to come, but people have to realise now that there has to be funding if Stormont ever gets its act back together and they get back up there. There has to be government funding to try and get more ice in Belfast.
Absolutely. Simon, on the live show, it is great to see so many people turn up.
It's brilliant. It's unfortunately, as I say, there was a lot of other things going on last week. And I mean, even the bloody face-off delays, if I hadn't known the face-off was going to be delayed, I would have stayed another 10 minutes. But having to get the away team stats and the away team lines and all sorted out for commentary, even though a lot of people think I talk a lot of crap on the website, I like to be prepared. But that's fantastic. I mean, they're all coming in early, and it's great that there's so much interest in AVF TV. It just goes to show that, we're not blowing our own trumpet. We are number one in the podcast. That's it.
I don't know. Was that what you said? People think you talk a lot of crap on it. Were we supposed to disagree with that, or are we just supposed to leave that silent?
I don't care. That's the slightest bit.
Thanks to everybody who turned up. Unfortunately, we sort of ran out of time in regards to setting up the audio for it, so we didn't get a recording of it. But we hopefully will have more of those going forward. The other thing we want to say thanks about, David, is of course the fantastic response we got to the cycle. You were on the bike for 2.5 hours in that game on Friday, and the response we got, not just from people donating but people volunteering, was fantastic.
Yes, Paddy, thanks. Obviously, we did the bike ride there on Friday night against the Capitals to raise money for the Northern Ireland Children's Hospice, something that the head coach, Adam Keefe, was really involved in positively, and Laura Small obviously comes up and helps so much to get these things done. Thanks to everyone, even the guys that loaned us the bikes from Pure Fitness, the people that got them in and out of the building, Glover, Barzo, all those guys, everybody that grabbed a bucket on the night, Blake in his wheelchair, Pixie, his mum and dad, Regan, all those girls and guys that helped out, shook those purple buckets, people that came up to the game and put money in the buckets, £1,315 plus change lifted on the night of the game, phenomenal. But the people that just given, I was trying to give them each an individual tweet, but it got really, really out of hand. It just got so many donations, I just couldn't keep up with it. So apologies for that. So I'm going to give you a shout out now. Going to do it really quick. Paddy's going to stick some music to it, hopefully. So here we go. Thank you to Stevie Thompson, Michael Crawford, Mark Brooks, Ryan Dolson, Iona Whitten, Michael Hoey, Matthew Patton, an anonymous, massive anonymous donation. Thank you very much. Adam McKenzie, Kirsty Louise Newman, Niall Perry, Tracy Judge, Victoria Steveley, Roisin McCavanagh, Darren D.A., Mark Jamison, Christopher Smith, Deborah Donnelly, Robert Fitzpatrick. Thank you very much. That's a lovely donation. Leslie McKenzie, Claire Locke, Simon Kitchen, Stephen Smith, Andrew and Michael Owens. Never get used to calling you Andrew Owens ever. Chris Lovell, Fiona Tiffany, Jordan Wilson, Granny's Next Door Neighbour, David McCallum, Deputy Dave of Cool FM, Andrea Ewing, Neil Whiteside, Malcolm Packers, Craig Pierce, Martin McGowan, Robert Maxwell, Mark Malcolm, Georgia Longmore, the captain himself, Blair Riley. Thanks very much, Captain. Jane Stitt, Leslie Wilson, Lucy Hamill, Maureen Moore, Zach Dorrington from Long Ashton, Janet Toe, Toe's mum, we'll see you down at Cargo Coffee, Kenny Bickerstaff, that's Papa Kay, Thomas Brown, Poppy Harvey, Statswoman herself, Dorothy Ennis, Mark Bell, that's Jimmy Squeaker, Shannon Wright, Alan McNeese, Joanna and Rosine Smith, you may have heard of them, Robert Bell, Stephen Packer, he donated $16.90, thanks very much, Craig S, Karen Dugan, anonymous on behalf of the Belfast Fury, thanks guys, play a bit of in line with them, Albert Carmichael, Martin Branagh, Joe Sheehan, Mark Archibald, Regan McCary, Thomas Brownlee, Mark McSparren, Michael McSparren, sorry, Lindsay, Kimberly Mack, Liam McSharry of Hockey Gods fame, Anonymous, Team McLean, thanks very much to Ethan, especially for the chocolate, Paddy Epbone Packet, Stephen Glover, Connor C, Anonymous donation, thank you, £5, Craig Anderson, Darren Ball, Christine Williams, Jenny Ray, Kirsten McCord, Ron McClure, all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, Christopher Hall, Christine Hamm, the podcast team, thank you very much, the Belfast Giants TV creeps, really, really appreciate it, Joel Neal, the heartbeat of Boomerang Corner, and then the heartbeat of the club, Adam Keith, brilliant, thank you, Coach Kathy McGee from East Belfast, Simon Gray, Glenda Kake, Lynn McManus, that's Mummy Bear, Claire Scott, Hilary Collier, Simon Burns, my FF, Laura Small, Annie Marie McAlorm, and Louise McCacker, and we appreciate every single penny people have given. £1,835 plus gift aid. We were aiming for £500. We've got over £3,000. People, you amaze me. That's all going to Northern Ireland Children's Hospice. We're going to make sure it gets up to them. We'll let you know when that's done. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, so let's look back at those games. Obviously, we talk about, we'll start with Friday's game against the Edinburgh, I was going to say the Brayhead Capitals. That's the way I've written it down on my sheet here. But the Edinburgh Capitals came into the SSE Arena on Friday the 29th of December and were dispatched with a 7-2 victory for the Giants. But maybe not as straightforward as we may have thought. It was the Giants who struck in the first period. Brenton Connolly on the power play with the first goal. Sebastian Sylvester with the second, but in the second period, it wasn't the best for the Belfast Giants. The Edinburgh Capitals came roaring back. Pudzins on a pass from Tyler Plews, who took a pretty bad high stick to the face in that game. But and then the second goal for the Edinburgh Capitals came from Banashkov. It went into the second period break at 2-2, and you'd be forgiven to think, you know, that maybe the atmosphere is a little bit flat with people not understanding why the Belfast Giants weren't powering by the Capitals. And, well, I think a few people had a bit of money down in this game. We'll come back to that. Some people needed a 5-goal salvo, and it came in the final 10 minutes of the game. Darcy Murphy, Jim Vandermeer, Sebastian Sylvester, Colin Shields, and Spiro Galakos. 5 goals in the third period, and a missed penalty shot from David Rutherford. David Rutherford. But rounding off the scoring at 7-2. In nets, well, Chris Trill got his home debut. On 27 shots, he made 25 saves. In the other net, it was the backup goalkeeper, Jordan McLaughlin, who was in net. 52 shots, 45 saves. Your referee was Dean Smith. Davey, you were on the bike, but you were watching it on the game. And when it came into that second period break, what were your thoughts?
You know, watching the game from the bike, we had actually a pretty good view of the game. And we started the game, I'd say, first being generous to us, maybe first 5 minutes, we drew a penalty pretty early on in the game, I think. And we had power play opportunities. Spiro Galakos came out like a man possessed. You know, he was throwing, I think, a Tex Simon, you know, maybe 4 or 5 shots in the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game. And yeah, we got our go. We got the go ahead goal after, I think it was about 9 or 10 minutes. And that we all thought that maybe with having Jordan McLaughlin net, you know, there's an element where you think, yeah, we're just going to run this up here tonight. And I don't know whether the ice was bad. That was the first time I've been back on the ice in a number of months, and passes weren't hitting tape, and just that first period wasn't bad. The second period was turgid. It was an awful period of hockey just to watch, and the Giants did not play well. I would imagine they got a right rocket in the second that they're missing, and they came out a wee bit better. But you know, that last 10 minutes, 7 seconds, we got that goal, and it really spurred us on. And we played in that last 10 minutes, like listening to Mason Simon on the commentary, watching the game back there. You know, Mace had sort of said, once they got that third goal, settled the nerves, why there was nerves, maybe coming back to the building after being 40 days on the road, whatever, big crowd, expectant crowd, post-Christmas, coming up the new year, all those factors, the guy had been off the ice, Christmas turkey, all those factors thrown in. We didn't play well, and that last 10 minutes, we were pretty sensational. We took it to them, and yeah, the floodgates opened a wee bit. They took a couple of penalties towards the you know, in the last 10 minutes of the game as well. Not so necessarily lost their discipline, but I think the run out of a lot of steam. I think Tyler Pluzy taking a pretty nasty cut to the eye. I think somebody else, Simon will tell me, somebody else had missed a large chunk of the game. Was it Trakanov, Simon?
Yeah, Trakanov. Had missed
a decent lump of the game through injury as well. So that mixed their lines up a bit. And, you know, I think just fatigue got them to the end, and some real nice hockey in that last 10 minutes. Yeah, pulled me out of a... putting me out of a hole with Ladbrokes, that's for sure.
So, in that game, you've got, as Davey said, the stage was set, the expectation was set, the homecoming, everything about it, the fact that the Giants had been away for over a month, the fact that it was the Edinburgh Capitals, who are rock bottom of the Elite League and on 6 points or whatever it is, and the opportunity there with the backup in, and after 40 minutes, do you blame the atmosphere for being a little bit flat?
I thought that we looked nervous, Pally, especially in the first period, and even more so in the second. And we talked about this before, and the backups in this league, and the Giants should learn from that a long, long time ago.
Yeah,
he'd come in and played. I mean, look, Newcastle played us 6-7 years ago with 9 guys. And I think, did they have a backup goalie in as well? I think they might have. And the Beatles. And then you're going down the line of you know, picking up Jordan McLaughlin. He played in Edinburgh against the Giants in October. And the kid was excellent. And then he comes in, you know, he's going to get the start. Chicago, we'll see, he's getting released tonight. You know, from Edinburgh along with Upitis as well. And you know, he's a good goalie. He's a really good goalie. And we talked about him. I think I mentioned his name more than anybody else's on the webcast on Friday night. I thought the kid was absolutely outstanding. And if guys are going to take the view that, you know what, all we need to do is turn up here tonight, well, you're in for a big, big shock, because we're not going to win. We're going to lose more games than what we'll win if I think they're just going to have to turn up and try and win the points. But fair play to Edinburgh Capitals. You know, 2-0 down, they could have folded over and just went, sure, we'll just get back on the ferry and head back to Edinburgh. We've got a game the next night. But they didn't. They knuckled down. They turned up. They came in with some really big performances. As Davey said, you know, Tyler had to go off with, I think he ended up with about 7 or 8 stitches, just right on the bridge of the nose. And I was talking to him on the way out of the arena. And, I mean, he's going to end up with a face like his dad. you know, he was saying it's not so bad because I'm a good-looking kid. So, he was, you know, he's still feeling a bit upbeat. But I thought Edinburgh did very, very well. And just touching on what you said, Paddy, they just run out of gas. You know, coming over again, it just goes to show it's not easy getting up. You know, they probably got the 2 o'clock ferry and they're traveling over. That means they're leaving Edinburgh at about 10 o'clock in the morning altogether. You know, it's probably 6-7 hours journey. They get to Belfast and then play the game and then straight back on the ferry again, heading back to Edinburgh. So tough, tough game for them. I thought that they had earned a lot of respect, and it was probably the biggest crowd that I've seen stay behind and clap a team, an away team off. So, you know, fair play to them. Did very well. Overall, you know, third period, we turned up. We scored five goals. Could have scored more, and thoroughly deserved the 2 points. But it's certainly, you know, the second period for me, probably either, apart from the first period against Guildford away, when we're 5-0 down, that was probably our worst period of the season.
Dave, you're about to come in there.
I've got a few stats in front of me here from the game, and you know, whilst I agree we didn't play well, we fired almost 100 shots at the Edinburgh net between on-off block and stuff, and you know, we should have scored more goals, we should have taken opportunities in that first, you know, first period with 32 shots on net in the first period. You know, it's not a good enough return to throw 32 shots on an 18-year-old at the SSE Arena and come away with two goals. You know, we need to, or was it one in the first period was a score? We went two up.
We were two up
in the first period. So is that down to quality of shot or quality of netminder?
There's a bit of both. There's a bit putting pressure on the kid as well. You know, as I say, we had almost 100 shots. And out of that 100 shots, we were only hitting the target 44 times. Mm-hmm. You know, and the shot count obviously is what it is. And I think they had 26 shots. On Chris Trill, who, by the way, I thought had a pretty solid game.
Agreed.
It's difficult for a goaltender who wasn't seeing much rubber, certainly in that first period. He had very, very little to do. It was a bit like of the story of when we went to Edinburgh a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this in the live show. He had so little to do. I think they had like 11 shots in the whole game in the away fixture. You know, so to keep your concentration high, because you're not seeing very much rubber, is difficult. And I thought Chris Trill had a... But, you know, see, to be realistic, when I've watched the game, whenever you watch the game back, it's wave after wave after wave of Belfast Giants attack. We just come up the ice and up the ice and up the ice at them all night long. The score line at the finish is reflective of the game. The Belfast Giants, although we left at the last 10 minutes, it was a comfortable victory. It wasn't comfortable in how we got to the final result, because 2-2 after 49 minutes, 53 seconds, you know, we had to do it all in the last 10 minutes, but we done plenty in that first 51 minutes, as we did away in Edinburgh. We should have won those two games against Edinburgh. We should have won them by a massive scoreline, and why we didn't, well, figure that out.
The post-game interviews are on SoundCloud.com, and you'll hear Adam Keefe being quite pragmatic. And when I asked him a question about that second period break and the words that were said in the locker room, saying that he was pretty calm and that he knew that, you know, these two sides had such a difference between them that he had no fear about it. I was talking to, let's say, somebody nameless who was in that locker room. I was talking to him on the flight back and said that the language that was used was choice. And no doubt, but the Giants came out and did get that 7-2 victory. On to Saturday, and it was a chance to redeem the loss that took place in the shopping centre on Boxing Day. It was a game against the Brayhead Clan. The Giants did redeem it. It was a 4-2 victory. No goals in the first period, and it was actually Brayhead who struck first. Jacob Doddy with a lovely little move between Cameron Burt, Brenton Burks, to put him in the back door and on the power play to score that goal. Blair Riley, after a lovely move from David Rutherford on the backhand, was able to level things in the second period before Tyre Shattuck, with as cool as you let me, ice cold as it was described by the co-commentator that night, Mr. McGimsey, but a lovely finish by Tyler Shattuck made it 2-1 at the end of the first period to the Brayhead Clan. Into the third period, and it was all Belfast Giants. Spear Galakis with a thunderbolt of a slap shot that went whizzing past Nye to make it 2-2. Steve Saviano on the power play made it 3-2. And Matto with the empty netter and game-winning goal. But it's not the game-winning goal, so, you know, it doesn't matter. If you know what that means, watch the highlights. The empty net goal made it 4-2. In net, Jackson Whistle was back in nets for the Belfast Giants. He had 28 shots and 26 saves. The other side ran now 40 shots, 37 saves. Your referee was still Dean Smith. Simon, come to you first on this one. The Brayhead Clan are starting to improve. They showed that with their win in the shopping centre, and a possibility that the Belfast Giants had underestimated them in that game. They didn't underestimate them here, and it was a proper battle.
I thought it was a really good game. You know, the first period, it ended up 0-0, and there was There was a lot of chances. I thought both goalies played really well. Ran Nye come up with a couple of really, really big saves to keep the score 0-0 and get into the second. Then the move you talk about from Cameron Burt with a slap pass to the side of the net. Your man Doty's not going to get an easier goal all season. I think that actually woke us up a wee bit. We sort of seemed a little bit more urgency. We got the physical play picked up a bit as well. Jonathan Ferdinand was an absolute beast that night. He hit everything that moved. At one point, I mean, to be honest, I know the man of the match didn't get the Jonathan Ferdinand, and I sort of looked at it and went, you know, the way he was playing, he picked up I think he got a couple of helpers on Saturday night.
He did.
And, I thought he was absolutely excellent. I mean, that line of John Kurt, Steve Saviano, and Jonathan Ferdinand played really, really well. But overall, again, you know, getting into the third period, that big shot from Gulakos and going top corner, and I still looking for it. Overall, absolutely, again, deserved a win. I don't think they underestimated the Edinburgh clan, I was going to say. I don't think they underestimated Brayhead in Brayhead, because, you know, every team in this league can put a performance on. They've been through a rough stage there, the same as their sister team in Nottingham. You knew they were going to come out of it and try and pick up the odd win. They beat Dundee away, and then they came in against us. They hammered Edinburgh. They were starting to put a couple of results together. They're getting good goaltending. And the Giants, as I say, they found it tough when they went to the shopping centre on Boxing Day. But I don't necessarily think they underestimated. I think that Boxing Day game was a real tough one for us, because we didn't have any ice in between Edinburgh and heading over to Brayhead on Boxing Day itself. So I thought that was a tough, tough game for it. But again, coming back to Belfast, two wins out of two at the weekend, that's definitely how you want to start off a 9-game home streak.
Davey, you know, the clan came at us in that second period and did have the lead, but that thunderbolt from Gulakos was an absolute phenomenon.
It was a cracking goal. This was a funny old game, Paddy. We should have had. It's an old cliche, you know, you can't win a league in September, but you can lose it. You can't genuinely win a game in the first period. You can lose it, but you can certainly set yourself well up. We threw 30 shots in that first period, in and around Ryan Nye, some of them off target, obviously, but we didn't put enough pressure on him. He was plucking cherries at times, and, you know, we came out very, very well. They came out slow. They ran into a bit of penalty trouble, and really, I think we should have ran up a wee bit in that first period, because we gave them heart, and obviously John Tripp's a good coach, and he got well tucked into them, I would say, in that first period break, and they came out. But they worked hard. It was, Simon said it there, it was quite a good game of hockey to watch. As we said on the commentary, there's no such thing as a neutral, certainly between us and Renfrew when we play them. But, you know, whenever we're playing against them, but if anybody happened to tune in that was a neutral, they got a good game of hockey to watch, but we should have. And we struggled then when they went ahead. It was like, how are we going to get back in? And we came back quickly. I think that was the key. We needed a wee bit of magic. Darcy Murphy with a lovely no-look pass off the boards. And I think as it really goes in with a wee bit of a spinorama, no-look pass, and the captain crashing in at the back post to get us. But then that leveller from, that one that put us ahead, sorry, from Spiro. Simon Kitchen, you know, people have asked me, can I turn this into a ringtone for them? And I might just do that, you know. The Gulakos! It was a screamer.
Aguero!
Yeah, it was one of those moments. You get caught up in it, Simon, totally, don't you?
You definitely do.
He had 6 square inches to put that puck from the blue line, and he hammers it. You'll not see, you know, you'll see pretty goals, you'll see good slap shots and all, but you may see goals as good, but you'll not see a better goal this season in terms of the quality of the strike and putting it into the area required. And then obviously we'll go up, Sav scores, maybe Darcy Murphy, but definitely wasn't Darcy Murphy, he says. Sav scores in the power play.
That was tough to pick out. There were two sticks in there, and it was one or the other.
It was very, very close, to be fair. It was very, very close. And then obviously, again, waiting on number 4 for Ladbrokes, and Matt Tope bombs up the ice, comes out of the penalty box, I think, actually.
Yes.
And can't get off for a change, and stays on and gets the opportunity on the empty net. I think Blair Riley threw one on the penalty kill, and it just landed on its edge and rolled and curved off, and then obviously comes back down. We get the fourth. But, you know, for me, again, Let's just quickly look up. Thanks to Stevie Thompson for his shot charts. But there you go, 79 shots attempted, on, off, blocked, etc. on Ryan Nye. So it's a game that we dominated. I think they worked hard. They got themselves involved in the game at time. They scored two really, really nice goals. But I think overall, a well-deserved 2 points.
You take a wee bit of money out of Ladbrokes this weekend?
Take a wee few quid off of that.
Says one guy who maybe mixture of feelings. He had three assists on the weekend, but he also had two penalty shots attempts, and that's David Rutherford.
Yeah, again, you know, he'd be disappointed with both of them. The first one against Edinburgh, you know, even Ryan, when you, actually, you have to touch on the net cam here. The guys,
I have that on my thing to talk about the highlights. The net cam's superb.
You know, and my understanding is they're hoping to have another one in place. If not this weekend, it'll definitely be next weekend. So it's they're, you know, they've invested heavily again this year with the you know, the product, and all they need is a good commentator, and if they can get that, they'll be fine. you know, I thought it was excellent. You know, he took it really well. He put the brakes on at the top of the circles, tried to, you know, get the goalie to make a move first of all, and the kid stood tall. You know, he stayed big, and then when he did get down, he spread his pads really, really well, and you know, took the chance. And unfortunately, Rudy went round him, hit the post, and you've seen that from the net cam. And then the next night, you know, Ryan Nye just had that post covered. But like, for me, every time you take a penalty shot against any team in this league, you've got to shoot the puck.
Simon, can I jump in? You were commentating with Mace on Friday night, and I listened to it back. And you were asking Mace before Rudy went, and obviously Mace practices with this guy every day. They probably practice penalty shots for a bit of a laugh, day of the training, whatever. And he said, what do you think he's going to do? I'll let you call this one. What do you think he's going to do? And he says, I'm not 100% sure what he's going to do, but I think he's going to shoot it. And you're absolutely right. Both nights. Now, Rudy freezes the goalie on both nights. First night he hits a post when he's got, he probably had a little bit more time than he realized. We had a really good view on that, and he's gone backhand, try to put it back across the net, and he's unfortunately caught the post. Second night, he's gone forehand and just can't lift it over Nye's pad. But if you don't shoot, you know, and it's easy. It's easy to sit in a room here and say this is what he should have done. You've said it yourself. Jeff Mason said it. And I think if Rudy got a third chance, the next time he's going to shoot the puck.
Yeah, 100%. For me, when I had the chance to take him, I was always shooting the puck. I didn't have the hands to dig around somebody and slot a third leg. Unless your name was Hugh Smith, he used to just torch a life out of him and make him open his legs and slip a puck in. But
so you could score past him with basketball.
That's very, very true. But for me, again, you just shoot the puck. And again, well, the guys that are playing in this league, and you know, it's certainly not like taking a penalty in football. You know, you've got your 12 yards, you've got just you and the goalie, and you've got a massive net to shoot at. You know, when you're going down on the goalie, and it is tough, especially the size of the goalies these days. They're massive. But for me, just shoot the bloody puck. I don't understand that you come down there, just bullet towards him. It's got a chance of going in.
You had a bit of a... I saw on Twitter the other day, it says you had a... I don't know whether it was an apology or not, but you had a few comments at Dean Smith that weren't taken very well.
Aye, some Sheffield Steelers fan jumped in and said...
Sheffield Steelers fan?
Exactly. That was my point. You know, so he jumped in and said that I shouldn't be having to go at the referee. And my point was, I've had to go at every referee this season. And if it was wrong, I would, you know, I would certainly put my hands up. I'm big enough and ugly enough to do that. And for instance, Dean Smith, you know, I had a chat with Dean on Saturday night, and he says, no, it's no big issue at all. Didn't even know what you said. Wasn't listening to you. I says, well, you should be listening to AVFTB. But and then he tweeted me on Sunday, and then I think it was Sunday, and basically said, don't worry about it. Said, everybody makes mistakes. We in a way, we emoji winker. So, but again, like,
what do you call it?
For me,
an
emoji winker.
What?
You just called a ref an emoji winker?
No, an emoji winker.
Winker.
Winker. Sorry.
You're and. But, you know, it's I think it's the right thing. You know, you've got to say what you see. And if the referee thinks you're making me a mistake, you've got to say it. And that's the whole point of commentating and being honest on the game. So I try to be that every game. And if they don't like it, your man from Sheffield can sling his hook.
I did see that. Because I think, was it the game against Edinburgh? It did go to TV replay. And you did say that he made a fool out of himself in that one, which was...
And he did! Him.
Do you think so? Like, is that not what the TV's there for?
No, because if you had it, basically, the way he called it is that he wasn't going to look at the replay.
He waved it off.
He wasn't going to look at the replay at all. Apart from, I think it was Blair Riley going to ask him, can you look at the replay? Because the puck was in. And the light went on. The red light went on. And yes, okay, you're thinking that guy's a home official. He's going to put the light on anyway. But the light went on. We could see clearly the puck was in the net. We had a really good view. I mean, right over the top of that net. And,
yes, but you don't know if you could have been waving it off for a man in the crease. It was a bit of in the worst skates in the crease on the replay.
There was, and again, if he's calling off for a man in the crease, you've got to make that signal. Yeah. He didn't do it.
True.
So
very true.
The signal that he made, he called the goal off. It certainly wasn't, and on that occasion, he made a bit of a fool of himself.
What I will say, I'm going to round this up with just a quick discussion, because of course they were actually the last games that we'll have to suffer. With a three-man system, Davey, we move into the four-man system next week, and I believe the referees for the forthcoming weekend's games against the Sheffield Steelers are Tom Darnell and Pavel Hallas.
Yeah. As I was talking to coaches this afternoon and said maybe we'll play Truel and Whistle this weekend because the penalty kill is going to be busy.
In fairness to Dean Smith on Saturday night against Bray, I thought it an excellent game. Thought he did really, really well on Saturday night.
No, but are you just trying to suck up to him now? Did you call him?
No. No, I did tell him that. I did tweet that as well.
Simon, if you go back and watch the game back again, and I remember talking, certainly in the first period, both ways, I think there was at least three pretty borderline checks from behind that didn't get called. Remember, Darcy Murphy gets wallpapered. And David Rutherford ends up coming in about a couple of minutes into the second period, actually. David Rutherford ends up coming in with, what do you call the big lad, 76, Cameron Burt.
Burt, yeah.
And Burt sort of grabs him, and Rudy obviously loses his footing and goes down, and they get 2 minutes for a rough on each. But, it wasn't Cameron Burt. It was, I'll leave that one for Sizz, Landon
Oslansky.
And he just sort of grabs Rudy.
And check from behind, was it?
Yeah, but it wasn't called. And there was definitely another one, Simon. I remember you distinctly saying, if that happens anywhere else on the ice, it's called a penalty. So
yeah, it was on Blair Riley, right in front of the bell, just to the left of the net. And that was Oslansky as well. Yeah, it was a cross-check. Again, anywhere else on the ice, if it was especially towards the boards, that is a penalty all day long.
Yeah,
so if it's a hit from behind, it's got to be called a hit from behind.
So while I don't disagree with you that Dean Smith didn't have a bad game, I think there was things that were missed, but there's always going to be things that were missed, and that brings nice segue back to you. It's a four-man system, so the back ref, maybe I'll get some of these calls at the weekend. We know Pavel Hallas from his Scottish refereeing over the last number of months that he likes to call slashing whenever you just look at a player. So the guys have to be tuned into that. The guys know now. Already, they're 3-4 months in the season. They know what referees call which penalties. They know what trends referees have. They know what referees you can talk to, which ones you're getting 10 minutes or 2 minutes for. And, you know, obviously, you've Matty Rose has stepped up the refereeing this week. Andy Dalton, another couple of weeks away from the armband as well. So, you know, these guys are starting to step up. You have to realize as well there's going to be a learning curve for players, officials alike. So, hopefully, that the bad hits are called and the players get to come with the game.
Just touching on Pavel Hallas there, Davey. He's certainly doing this, the two games this weekend with Tom Darnell. And the way I listened to you, he did the game last night in Fife against Manchester. And the first penalty that he called was a slashing call on Jerry Rosehill. then he got a 5-minute cross check, and then he got game misconduct, and then he got in the game abusive official misconduct. And
did you see have you seen the video yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, geez, I'll WhatsApp it to you.
Well, I don't think you need to, boys, because what I'll do just very briefly, because you've given us the opportunity, I always like doing this, I'm going to play the Dops jingle.
Dops.
Dops. Dops.
Because, as you've brought that up, Jay Rosehill has been suspended for 6 games. It's just come out It's just come out in the last 10 minutes. The whole big determination of it, but match penalty for checking the head, game misconduct, blah 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 blah. Jay Rosehill is considered to be a repeat offender, cross-checking his unsuspecting opponent in an aggressive manner, throwing a stick, and unwarranted abuse of official. Yep, he will be suspended now for 6 games. Fair enough, Davey. He is a repeat offender.
Probably about right. It's a bit of a comical set. Have you seen the video?
I have, yeah.
There's obviously a hit off the play that he doesn't agree with, and he goes on a solo run to try and take vengeance, and he gets it badly wrong. He can't wait for a good opportunity to come up, so he goes and just absolutely empties the guy with a cross check, and obviously then he gets called for that, and he doesn't even get into an altercation that he's looking for, and he kind of throws a stick. That's the abusive official one. You know, he throws a stick on his way to the penalty box. The lino has him by the shirt, and he kind of puts a stick up in the air and then throws it down on the ice in front of him. And he just lost his cool by then. 6 games. It's the old comparing. It's natural you know, you compare Fredder 6 games, Rosehill 6 games. I assume that, I haven't read the press release you're saying it just came out, but I assume it's like a couple of games for the cross check, it's a couple of games for this and a couple of games for that, rather than a 6-game ban. So cumulative, repeat offender, the referees want to stamp down on this abusive officials, and they want to stamp down on guys like Jay Rosehill becoming centre stage, and instead of the skill players, instead of the goal scorers, instead of the big D-man. You know, what he's done was stupid. He has let his team down, he's let his club down, he's let the fans down. He'll not be able to say anything to me that could say what he'd done was okay. His 6 games is probably about right.
Interesting comment right at the very end of it. The elite of the determination, I've just basically whizzed through it while you were talking. Now, the Elite League Department of Player Safety has also determined that any further actions by a Manchester Storm player similar to those of Rosehill against the Fife Flyers will also leave the Manchester Storm head coach Ran Finnerty liable to suspension for inability to control his players. Simon.
I believe Simon Kitchen for that press release.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, also, Simon, and I'll bring it back to you, they also cite as, to put the actions of Rosehill into further perspective, Dops wish to also make clear it is important to understand Rosehill's repeated actions this season will require supplementary discipline. They cite the Edinburgh Capitals game where he got a match penalty for checking to the head and a 2-game suspension. The Belfast Giants game in Belfast where he got a major and a game game penalty for roughing that led to a 1-game suspension. And the Sheffield Steelers game where an interference penalty that led to a 1-game suspension. You made a comment on Twitter last night, Mr. Kitchen, about his captaincy.
Do you know what? If you call that leadership, then I'm in the wrong game. If I was a teammate of his, with the size of him and the reputation that he has, you certainly wouldn't want to say to him, but somebody's got to stand up and say, Mr. Rosehill, you're one of them ones. But I just don't think that, Ran Finnerty making him captain, honest to God, catch yourself on. Yes, he had him last year in Brayhead. He might be funny in the dressing room trying to keep things, you know, on the down low, but he is, Davey's touched on it, he has absolutely 100% let the Manchester Storm down and let his coach down. Now, the fans, any fans that did go up to Fife yesterday, they're certainly wasted journey because that, you know, I think they got four or five power play goals last night and 3 of them on that play. So, he's an embarrassment. You certainly don't want that in this league. I think he's more used to bits on a pool. He's just absolutely, I don't rate him at all. I think the guy's an absolute point. And if he wants to come and hunt me out, tweet him, tell him where I am. I'm waiting on him.
what I was getting at, Paddy, was about the threat to Ran Finnerty, that he could end up with a ban for inability to control players. Yeah. Simon had put the tweet out there earlier in the week about somebody had got a game for match penalty for instigation and fight in the last couple minutes.
Yeah, Wallace. Wallace. Did you see that? Did you see that play?
Yeah.
I thought that's embarrassing as well. Actually, I didn't see the play until after.
Against the Storm.
Yeah, he gives that guy Springer a tap in the back of the legs, All right, you got to tap the back of the leg. Springer drops his glove straight away. But we talk about the instigator penalty. He got the instigator penalty. That was, you know, his teammate got shoved into the back from behind into the boards. No call on the play. He's just basically letting your man Springer know that you're bang out of order here. You know, you're 3-0 down, 2 seconds to go. You're playing him the 48 hours later, whatever it may be. You know, gives him a tap on the pads, and Springer drops the gloves, and he gets the instigator.
I've said a load of times, Simon, about the interpretation of the instigator rule, and it happened with Brendan Connolly when he got suspended for instigation as well. The instigation is the hit that makes
correct
Brendan Connolly decide that, well, the referee's not protecting me, I'm going to protect myself, and he gets the 5-plus game, 5-plus 2-plus game, plus a match penalty, and we discussed that last year when Adam Keefe fought in Fife. Rob Stewart got a suspension because of the instigator, and the league put out that the EIHL casebook states that the instigator penalty in the last 5 minutes of the game will also lead to the bench coach serving a one-match suspension. That's what they put out in their press release, and you were right to call them out on it. It seems this season that they're not following through with that rule. Maybe it's been removed from the casebook. We did ask the question on Twitter. We haven't got an answer. That's as their prerogative to answer Twitter questions if they want. The Paddy can maybe follow that up with one of the league guys that he knows. But, you know, for me, that should have been straightforward enough. If that's what they put out last year and said, the suspension is, if you fight in the last 5 minutes of the game and you're an instigator, you get a match penalty and your coach gets a match penalty. That's what it was last year. Why isn't it that this year? I just do not know.
The Elite League in ambiguity shock. What I also know what's going to happen now is I'm going to get a whole load of Twitter stuff from Manchester Storm fans saying all I do is talk about their team. But this is something that came in the last 10 minutes as I'm looking at the Elite League website, and it's something we're talking about. But what we will do now is we'll move on.
Can we talk about David Sims's allegations against the team? We're having a bit of a rant about the Storm.
Oh, well, yes, we can do. I saw that you were having a discussion about that earlier. David, why not fill us in on what's happened?
Well, David Sims put an article in the Sheffield Star today. Well, Bob Westerdale did, but written by David Sims, where he said that he was in Manchester for the return leg of the game where Manchester, basically, there was a lot of stuff going around the place with Ryan Finnerty begging, you know, Sheffield fans to come and fill their barn up. Good stuff, all that stuff to sell tickets. But Sims, he arrived up very early to Manchester, and rather than go in and have a cup of tea, for example, with Ryan Finnerty, he decided to sit in his car, but he needed to spend a penny, so he decided rather than just go into any old toilet, they'd walk right through the arena and go into the away dressing rooms, where it was lovely and warm, and the heaters were on, and the floor was dry, and it was all ready for the Steelers to come. He went back out to his car to sit again, didn't like to have a cup of tea with Ryan Finnerty in his little nice warm office there, but sat in his car instead, and when the Steelers bus arrived, lo and behold, the heat was off, the lights were off, the dressing room floor was wet, wet floor in hockey barn, shocker, but obviously Paul Thompson ordered the Sheffield Steelers back on the coach. We're not going to play the game until you dry the floor in the change rooms. All this good stuff, and you know, obviously there's a lot of people then on, as they do, backing David Sims' story up and saying it's an absolute disgrace.
Find it quite strange, that story, because to get to the away dressing room, he would have had to walk past the toilet. So why walk all the way to the dressing room just to do that?
Letting the boys know it be.
My understanding is, and I heard about this, the newspaper article today, I went out and bought the Sheffield Star, dead on. But my understanding is that when any Belfast Giants team has been in there, the floor is always wet, it's always cold, so there's no difference.
Yep, I remember it was a season ago or two seasons ago, Kiefer stuck his head around the doors when Coach was still running the show there. Kiefer stuck his head around the doors. I was stood outside waiting to do a couple of interviews and basically says, "Where's, can you go tell Coach the water's cold in the showers here?" And he had right enough, like the lads were queued up. The shower was freezing according to them. You know what I mean? But that's if you've been to Ultringham, it's a tin shed. And they're not there to make it hospitable to the away team, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, there's rinks you go to, and again, you know, I'll give you an example. And one of the teams that we despise in Nottingham, and you know, we certainly are not any favourites from the Nottingham Packers. But I was speaking to Taff today, and Taff says that the rink and the people in Nottingham for anything you need. Couldn't do enough for you. And he says he could not fault the guys, especially the equipment manager in Nottingham. He says he's an absolute top lad. Unfortunately, tough. You know, he had to go down the Cardiff. He went into Nottingham there a few weeks ago, set everything up. And the equipment manager from Nottingham had popped round during the game to make sure everybody's skates were okay, because Taff had to go early. So, you know, it doesn't happen in every rink. Yes, you know, it's a dingy wee hole when you walk into the Altrincham Ice Dome or whatever you call it. It's cold when you're standing out in the stands. You know, when there's no sun getting in through the windows into the changing room, it's going to be cold. You're under a bloody stand as well. There's no heat getting into the place. So for whatever happened and allegedly happened, and my understanding is it's the same for every single team. So suck it up and move on.
Wouldn't be the Elite League if there wasn't a little bit of drama over nothing, really. But anyway, right, let's move on. Unless there's anything else, Davey, can we move on?
No, we can move on.
We'll just have a couple of interviews. Sid's popped down to training today, and we'll first of all hear from, Spiro Galakos in a second. But first of all, we'll hear from Ran Martinelli.
Marty, December, played a lot of minutes again. The whole seasons, you've just sort of stepped up to the mark for your teammates. But you seem to be settling in there now, and 6D seems to be benefiting the whole team.
Yeah, no, it's good having everyone back healthy. Obviously, we have a couple injuries still on forward and stuff, but having everyone out on the back end, I think the guys have been playing well, and like you said, it's been really beneficial for us.
Moving into this weekend, Sheffield Steelers, two real tough tasks Friday and Saturday night. What sort of challenge are you expecting from the Steelers?
I mean, they're hot right now. They're a really good team. We've kind of had their number most of the year. It's been some tight contested battles, but we're expecting them to come out hungry for a couple points, and we're going to do the same, try to protect our home ice and keep on rolling from last weekend.
It's your second year in Belfast. I know you're coming to the end of your schooling, but have you any idea regarding your own future? Are you looking to extend and continue on playing, and if so, in Belfast?
You know what? I haven't really given that too much thought. Just kind of been focusing on this year and focusing on the schooling. I figure I still got a couple years left in my legs, but I mean, at this point, I really haven't given it too much thought.
How's your schooling going, the University of Ulster?
It's going well, actually. It's going really well. Too bad me and Savvy, we just missed out on that that brand new campus downtown that they're building right now. But, it's been going really well. And, I mean, one semester left, so I'm looking forward to being done.
Spiro, a great December for yourself. Staying out of the penalty box, which is great. And obviously putting up good numbers on the defensive end as well. You must be pleased with the way you're playing.
Yeah. Team's obviously been on a roll, so that helps. Everyone's been playing pretty good hockey. So, obviously, I'm relied on to put up some numbers and help on the offensive side, and fortunately, I've been able to do that.
Going into Belfast now, you've got a long run of home games. You've been on the road for a long time. The guys must be happy to be back home.
Yeah, it's great to be back home. Obviously, we have the best fans in the league, and you know, just makes it easier on our bodies and that kind of stuff to be at home and get some extra sleep and not have to travel the day of games and stuff like that. So obviously there's a lot of advantages of being back home, and we're looking forward to it.
You've got the Sheffield Steelers up next, a team that you know an awful lot about. You've played a few games against them this season. What sort of challenge are you expecting when the Steelers come into town?
Yeah, expecting it, both teams to be at our best and for it to be a great hockey game. I mean, obviously standings are pretty tight, and every point is extremely important right now, so just focused on getting the 2 points.
You must be looking forward to welcoming Colton Frederick to Belfast.
Yeah.
No comment?
No comment, really. I don't know. What happened in the past is the past, kind of, but I don't know. Just worried about getting the 2 points more than anything right now.
It's time for December's Player of the Month Award, brought to you by Phonacab. We called for your nominations, and as always, from those nominations, we've drawn four for the shortlist. The polls are open, and the four players you have to choose from are: number 6, Spiro Galakis; number 10, Sebastian Silvestre; number 15, Darcy Murphy; and number 88, Ryan Martinelli. So far, we've over 700 people have cast their vote for this month's award, but there is still time for you to add yours. Just go to @AVFTV on Twitter or twitter.com/AVFTV. Likewise, you can visit our Facebook page by searching A View from the Bridge, and that will point you in the direction of the poll. Voting ends at 5 p.m. on Friday, and we will be awarding the winner the latest A View from the Bridge Player of the Month trophy this weekend in the games against the Sheffield Steelers. The question is, who will follow Jackson Whistle with their name on that award? It's up to you. Cast your vote. And thanks to Phonocab for sponsoring the award. So, Spiro Galakis, Sebastian Silvestre, Darcy Murphy and Ryan Martinelli. Davey, who's your choice?
Again, Paddy, we're kind of lucky that, you know, the guys, it's a hard one for me. Even though he's missed the games through suspension, he's came back almost a new player. He's been sensational. You can't always judge contribution on the number of points scored, but certainly Spiro Galakis has put a lot of points up since he's came back. He's been instrumental in defense as well as going forward, and it's hard for me to look past Spiro. I'm a bit of a fanboy. I'm getting a bit of a fanboy. That goal he came up with against the Brayhead Clan, he can do a wee bit of everything. I can't wait to see him in action against the Sheffield Steelers, because that'll have been eating away at him for the last, you know, couple of months there since he came away from that bad injury after Fredder, you know, sucker jumped him. And you know, I'm sure he's been thinking about that a lot over the last lot of weeks. Martinelli again, is that every month he's been?
Yeah, I'm pretty. Well, I need to go back into it, but I'm pretty sure it's every month so far.
And you know, for me, Martinelli's been good. It hasn't been his best month, but he's obviously been nominated again, and the voting's going well for him. Darcy Murphy with that unbelievable goal away to Sheffield, and Sylvester is just racking point after point. He's doing it every. He's 55 points or something off 30 games this season, or 32 games. He's been exceptional. He's leading points per game, I think 1.7 points per game or something. But for me, if I'm only allowed one vote, which one man, one vote, I'm going for Rigouli.
Simon?
I would, again, agree with my colleague here. You know, I thought Gooley's been excellent, you know, since he came back from the suspension. And, you know, he's putting numbers up. He's playing smart. He's not taking stupid penalties. Long may that continue. But because of the continuity that he's had all season long, the minutes that he's put in, you know, the whole aspect of you know, not being found wanting, you know, he went down against Sheffield, took a puck to the face against Sheffield there in Sheffield 4 or 5 weeks ago, came back out again for the start of the third with a couple of stitches. You can't see him because it's below the beard. But I think Ryan Martinelli deserves the award because of, you know, he's been up there every month this season. And I honestly think that he should be rewarded for his all the minutes and all the time that he spent in there. And again, you know, there was another point throughout the season that he really could have went back to North America for a couple of days trip, but he stayed and helped the team out, and I think he should be commended. And for me, it's Ryan Martinelli.
You know what? I take your point on that, mate, and I wholly agree with you. The Ryan Martinelli has been consistently performing at a high level all season long, and I think when we get to March, April time, when we're talking about the big prize, we're talking about the player of the season, I think you can't look past him at this moment in time. But I have to fall with Davey on this one and say that despite the suspension, if you're taking December in a thing, I think Galakis for me has been absolutely superb. He's the offensive ability he's taken, the defensive ability he's taken, the position he's had, the aggression that he's shown. He's been a phenomenal player for December, and that's where my vote went. We've had almost 750 votes so far in this poll. It will close on Friday at 5 p.m. and we will be presenting it this weekend in one of the games against the Sheffield Steelers. Davey, we've got somebody lined up for that.
We do indeed. Oh, let me grab a name. Sorry, I had it. I've just let it
teed it up for you. Sorry. That teed it up.
You did. My wet thumb does not allow me to open my iPhone. Oh, here we are. Matthew and Ben Campbell. We're very fortunate, along with Laura Small, that we get to get involved with some of our younger fans here and kids that have got disabilities and kids that have got little problems. And, you know, this is another family that face a lot of adversity. Big Belfast Giants fans. So they're going to come along. Matthew and Ben are going to come along at the weekend, make sure whoever gets the most votes gets the prize delivered to them by those young kids. So looking forward to seeing them hand out the Phone-a-Cab prize for December.
Which has all been, you know, all been updated.
Pat, I just jump in there.
Go on.
There is one thing that's at the back of my head.
Go on.
With regards to Gooley getting it, I'd love to see him getting it and having to be helped out awarded to him in front of that guy, Fredder.
I'm telling you, see if the voting goes Gooley's way. I will definitely be petitioning Mark Brooks that once the game is over, the AVFTB Player of the Month gets presented before the Sheffield Manly match.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
If they actually do Manly match and handshakes and stuff on the Friday night,
they do. Yep. All the well.
There's been a couple of times this. There's been a couple of times this season in double headers that the referees have asked the away team just to scoot on off
straight down the
tunnel. And to be honest, I think that's exactly the way it should be.
I agree with you. I actually think season long, you should just shake hands with the team the last time you played them.
NHL style, at the end of the playoffs. But yeah, I agree with you. There shouldn't be any... We could argue about the little nuances that the UK game has. I don't know why we play the national anthem. But, well, obviously in Belfast we don't, but it's the only sport, the only competitive sport that has it. There's little nuances, and one of them is the handshake. So yeah, I agree with you on that. But coming back to the point, yes, if Gooley was there, so there is only 4% in it currently, so things can change in this last 24 hours or so of voting. 4% between Ran Martinelli and Spiro Galakos. So if people get their votes in before Friday at 5 p.m, we'll see what comes of that. Let's move on, gents.
If you want a really, really quick stat, you're not going to do your stat man this season or tonight.
We can do. Do you want it right now?
I'll just throw a stat in, will I?
Hold on, just to help
people with their voting.
Let me just if you're going to throw in a stat, I've got to play the tune.
I'm a stat man. I'm the stat man.
All right, then, David, you teed it up.
Terrible. It's not a great stat, the plus minus. But this month, Spiro Galakos +8, Ryan Martinelli +4, Sebastian Silvestre +9, and Darcy Murphy +2. So Spiro Galakos, and he missed 3 games through injury, and I haven't done the Brayhead Clan stats from the other night, so he could in fact be slightly worse, slightly better, but +8 over the over the month of December, with missing 3 games, pretty impressive stats.
Mm-hmm. Right, very good. Well, there we go. We got our stat man thrown in for that. Around the league, Dops. Listen, we've covered Dops when we talked earlier on. Let's fly through a few things here. Blaze have hired a forward in Dorian Pekka, who played for Polish side Katowice last season and registered 9 goals, 15 points in 18 games. The Sheffield Steelers, who we'll come to later on, they've signed a forward in Eric Neely from the ECHL. Adirnak Thunder. Nearly had 10 goals and 22 points in 30 games for Thunder this season so far, but he's coming in, and I assume he'll be in this weekend. Also in signings, Omar Pasha has been letting some players go, but also now has picked up a defenseman in the former Clan defenseman Cody Carlson, and Danish forward Lucas Ludvald Nielsen. They needed the bodies up there. I wonder, is Pash still playing for them? I assume he still is. Whether this will change, I don't know. One notable result I'm going to take is comes from last night's game between the Nottingham Panthers and the MK Lightning. It was the second leg of the Challenge Cup quarter final, and the Panthers walked away with an aggregate 7-4 win. That means that game we'll briefly chat about later between the Belfast Giants and the Fife Flyers. The winner of that, of course it is at 3-3, will face the Nottingham Panthers. And a quick look at the league table before we move on. The Cardiff Devils are leading the way. They've actually caught up in all their games in hand. They're level games of the Belfast Giants, but they are 6 points clear at the top of the Elite League. 30 games played, 47 points registered. The Belfast Giants, 30 games played, 41 points. The Sheffield Steelers, 31 games played, 39 points. And Fife have climbed into fourth place, 26 games played, 38 points. So there's still four games back on Cardiff and ourselves. Guildford, they're in fifth, 30 games played, 38. Nottingham in sixth, 28 played, 37. Then it's Storm, Brayhead, Blaze, Lightning, Dundee, and then the Edinburgh Capitals still only 6 points from 30. Simon, Cardiff Devils leading the way, 6 points clear. I think they've also had like 14 wins on the trot.
And they haven't got beat since we beat them in Cardiff, so you know they're certainly on a good run of form, and you know it's you knew they were struggling at one stage during the season. Everybody gets through a few wee issues and a few bad results, but you know the Cardiff Devils have got a good squad and they're putting a great run of form together at the minute. But again, you know they've got some tough big games coming up, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. And but the one to watch is Fife, guys. You know Fife are, you know they're many points are they behind us?
They are 3 points behind us with four games in hand.
You know, if they win all their games, then are they only 1 point behind Cardiff?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, they had a game last night against Manchester, took them apart. Yeah, their power play is rolling. We played them this week in the second leg of the Challenge Cup in on Tuesday night, so... They're a good team. They have a lot of games. I was looking at their roster for March now, not including if they do get to the final of the Challenge Cup. I think they've got 17 or 18 games in 30 days. Now that's going to be a big ask. A lot of travel in that as well. But they're certainly not to be ruled out at this point.
David, I was just looking at like the Fife in the Gardiner Conference as well. They're top of the Gardiner Conference with two games still in hand ahead of the Brayhead Clan. They're only 1 point up. They are potentially the rival, are they? Do you think? Like, can Fife put in a run that puts them in the top 3-4? Or is this just you would say it's like when you look at the start of say the Premier League season, you see the likes of Bolton or Burnley. Well, obviously not Bolton, but the likes of Burnley or whatever, they always get to Huddersfield. They're always at the top in the first couple of weeks. This isn't the first couple of weeks. This is mid-season.
Yeah, this isn't an anomalous result. You know, this is 26 games in the season, and when you look at things like 5 of 26 games versus the Cardiff of 30 games, you know Cardiff have scored 120 goals in their 30 games. Fife have scored 109 in their 26, so they're on a couple of goals a game. You know, they'll be up at the 120. Cardiff have conceded 80. Fife are the league lowest conceded, only 68 goals against. You know, they're good at the back, they're good at the front, they've got good goaltending. They're 26 games into the season, they're leading their conference. They're there on merit. They're going to take a lot of stopping, and that conference they're in is in terms of the conference that Sheffield, Belfast, Cardiff, Nottingham have is an easier conference. There's no two ways of putting that. The Belfast Giants, we talked about, if you want to talk about them, we've said about trying to be in touch on the 1st of January, and we are, because we've had that long road trip, and I think, what is it, Simon, now about another 7 games in a row at home, something like that, if you take the Challenge Cup out. So, and we're comparable to, you know, 120 goals, we have 119. Yes, we've conceded more, but there's been a few games where we've conceded in bunches, and you know, we're tough. We've scored a lot of penalty minutes in there as well. But you know, now this home run, getting those two games out of the way last weekend, that homecoming, if you want, hopefully the rust of being at home is out of the way now. Two massive games this weekend, absolutely huge games this weekend against Sheffield, where we've both played 11 games. We're joint top of our own conference. And that's something that we have to try and make sure that you have to win your own conference. If you can't win the league, it's very, very important to win your own conference for playoff places as well. We are set we are set for it here. Cardiff Devils are on a fantastic run as well. As Simon has said, they haven't been beaten since we last beat them. We've got to play them again soon. But this, we'll not be looking beyond Friday night, but Friday night and Saturday night are two really, really key games. Put a little bit of a gap between ourselves and Sheffield. Maybe just eat in a little bit into the Cardiff Devils lead if they slip up. But, you know, you can only look after your own shop, and we've just got to keep putting the wins on the board.
Before we move on to just a quick preview of that, we did have a chance to catch up with the head coach, Adam Keefe, and he spoke to Simon earlier today.
Adam, happy new year. Come back to work after another 4-point weekend against Edinburgh and Brayhead. Two victories at the SSE Arena. Must be good to be back in Belfast.
Absolutely, yeah. It's certainly a lot more comfortable at our home arena, and you know, practicing here, coming into the dressing room where the guys are familiar with the surroundings, and just looking forward to being back on home ice. I think that everybody's getting kind of excited, and we're certainly looking forward to getting a full week of practice here and building towards a weekend in Sheffield.
The two games against Edinburgh and Brayhead, I think it's fair to say that we played okay the first and second period in both games, but the third period really won the 4 points for us.
I didn't think we played all right the first and second play, or the second period specifically against Edinburgh, but certainly the guys showed up in the third period and responded well and took the game over, and so we're happy to get the points out of that one. I thought our energy levels were great against Brayhead, and I thought a couple decisions ended up that we were down a goal going into third period, but again the guys showed up for the third period and took the game back, and I think they recognize the magnitude of the situation and how tight the league table is, that we can't afford to give points away to teams, especially teams that are lower in the table. We want to keep putting space between ourselves and teams that are below us in the table, and keep on the heels of Cardiff.
Moving into this weekend, the old foes, Sheffield Steelers, come into Belfast for a doubleheader Friday and Saturday. It's been a very positive results that we've had so far against Sheffield, and I'm sure you're looking to continue that.
Yeah, we're certainly looking to continue it. I've said it before, I think that some of the results could have went the other way, obviously, and we need to stay grounded and realize that. So I think that Sheffield's going to come in here looking to make an impact on us, and obviously they've been playing well here of recent times. I think they're 7-2 in their last nine. I think that they're the Moussakov had four shutouts in the last five games, so they're obviously playing well defensively, and we're gonna have to be at our best. It's simple as that. We go into these games and we try to prepare everybody for the team that we're playing against the most we can, and ultimately it comes down to us being the best version of ourselves, and if we do that, like I said, I think we can compete with every team in this league and beat every team in this league.
I think it's the first time that Colton Fretter will face Spiro Galakos after their incident back in October. Spiro was suspended in the last game in Sheffield. Is that going to play a big part in this game?
I don't think it'll play too much a part in it. I mean, I've been part of these situations before where I think a lot of time has passed in between then. Ultimately it comes down to how each individual reacts, I suppose, on the ice. And it'll certainly add some emotion and some drama to the game, I suppose. We're focused on getting the 2 points and getting out of that game, not settling any scores first, so I think it's more or less we need Spiro on the ice. He's a dominant force offensively for us, and we need him creating offense, so if he's sitting in the penalty box for the majority of the game, that bodes well for Sheffield. So we'll try and stay focused and focus on the game plan.
You've got a 4-man system this weekend. It was announced there just starting the week. And that certainly, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the referee situation this year and they're being put under pressure by Dobbs to a certain extent to call more or less everything. But do you think it'll help or do you think it'll go against the grain of the possible game coming up?
I don't know. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew. So I guess we'll have to play smart and feel out how the referees are calling the game and see what's going on out there. I think you have to play like that regardless. I think if we play the right way and we stay disciplined, minimize the calls that they can call against us. That's the way. That'll be the message going into this weekend. You know, I think Sheffield's the top of the league on the power play and top of the league on the penalty kill. So there's definitely a dangerous team when it comes to special teams, and we need to stay 5-on-5 as much as possible and focus on that.
Thanks very much, David Kiefer. As you said, David, the games this weekend against the Sheffield Steelers, we're in the middle of this home. We've got a lot of home games to play here, a lot of home games to catch up with. We put a lot of the away games, a lot of tough away games behind us, and we start with the Sheffield Steelers doubleheader Friday at 7 p.m, Saturday at 7 p.m. And I'm going to start with you, David, just a name we brought up earlier on and a guy we heard from earlier on. And is there a worry that there might be too much focus on the fact that this is Spyri Galakos' first game against the Sheffield Steelers since what happened in October?
Oh, I don't know. I'm so excited about these games. It's been a while, to be honest with you, Paddy. And part of this is the Galakos-Fredder thing. It's been a while since I've kind of a game has got the juices flowing just quite like this has, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. I really, really am. I think it'll be a great game of hockey first and foremost. I think the Belfast Giants have the potential to do something special this season again, and you got to take your competitors out by the roots, and maybe quite literally, we have had very little in the way of that rough stuff this season, and Gooley feels there's something to be settled there. I hope they can get it done, get it out of the way, and go back to focusing on putting pucks behind Mr. Koss. He's been on a rich vein of form, but obviously he shipped a whole load there against Manchester, so we know he's beatable. So the guys just have to get their shots on, get in there early, and get into when we up our hit count. We've talked about this numerous times this season. We play that European style of perimeter hockey. We don't do well. When we go hard nose, we get into that blue paint, upset goaltenders, make sure D-men are facing their own boards, make sure D-men are addressing, make sure their forwards are doing loads of work on their own defensive zone so they're not in ours. We've just got to outwork them, out-hit them, out-shoot them, out-score them, and we're going to be okay.
Simon, I think Davey makes the point perfectly there. It's the fact that while the juices might be pumping for us, the fans, the fact that, you know, this was such a big thing, and we have had the number of the Sheffield Steelers thus far this season, is the foremost thing to be the 2 points, or is there a little bit of retribution to be had here?
2 points. That's the most important thing here.
Yeah.
You've got to put the team first. Spiro's been in a brilliant bit of form. Yes, he's volatile. He can get upset very quickly, and maybe if he can stay away from the referees and not give them any bad looks to a certain extent as well. And we've got a chance to win these games. And you know, Spiro knows that. I think he's maybe taken on board, and did somebody have a word in his ear? You know, players, somebody with a bit of experience. Don't forget, he's still a young lad. And he's only played a couple of years of a pro, and he's faced some tough challenges throughout his young professional career as well. So I think there's a long way to go. And with regards to everybody keeping an eye on Spyri Galakos and Colton Fredder, Spyri wants his team to win. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I've watched him in training today, and he's absolutely flying. If he gets the chance, and you know, if we manage to go a couple of goals down, is he going to go and try and fire his team up by get involved in the scrap? Do you know what? I hope he does. You know, if you find yourself 2-0 down, we need a spark. That's one thing we've been missing this year. When we do go down, yes, you battle. I mean, we've got a pretty good record in battling back and getting back to maybe leveling and going ahead. But it's, you know what, for me, if he feels he needs to get out of his system, as does, you know, it takes two to tango. You know, Colton Fredder might just want to try and entice him into doing you know, doing something stupid and then shouting at the referee and doing something even more stupid. So he's got to be, he's got to put the team first. The 2 points are the most important thing with regards to the Belfast Giants on Friday night. But yes, we've had great success against the Sheffield Steelers so far this season. We're 4-0. But a stat that was mentioned to me today by Adam, in the last 9 home games against the Sheffield Steelers, the Steelers are 7-2. So it's not going to be easy. Paul Thompson will make it difficult to get a result. And, you know, they're missing John Armstrong. Westling went off injured the other night. They're going to have him. They've got this new guy on board. Look, we all know the Steelers can play. If they get their game going, they're a tough team to stop. But you know what? We've got a good team as well. And that's what we've got to concentrate on is ourselves. Get out there, get off to a good start, and put your best foot forward, as Davey keeps saying.
Those games are Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. If you can't get down there, you get them at Belfast Giants TV. I'm with you, boys. I'm absolutely pumped and hyped for these games. Unfortunately, I'm not going to get to see tomorrow's game live because I've been very kindly invited to Anfield for the FA Cup game against Everton. So I'm going to be trying to keep a track on it whilst hoping I can get 4G sat in the main stand. So, I'll be looking for some updates from you, Davey, because I assume Simon's going to be doing the commentary. One thing we will cover, because I don't know if we're going to get the podcast before it happens, is that game against the Fife Flyers, just briefly covered. It is 3-3. It's the second leg of the Challenge Cup quarterfinal. The winner of this has the right to go on and to face the Nottingham Panthers. And we spoke about them there, Simon. Fife are dangerous.
They are, Paddy. You know, again, I know it's Adam and the guys will be looking forward to these two games against Sheffield this weekend, but, you know, it's a trophy. You know, you're basically, if you take this quarter final, you're 3 games away from winning the trophy. So, you know, you certainly want to get that win on the board on Tuesday night. You know, 3-3 coming out of Fife. We picked up a couple of bad penalties on that night. Give Fife the opportunity to get back into the game. I wasn't at the game and I watched it back. But, you know, again, 5-on-5, we were the best team again. Stay out of the penalty box. We've got the chance to move forward. And obviously, you know, Nottingham and the Challenge Cup is a challenge. You know, they've had great success and you know, they're starting to find their feet again to pick up a couple of wins at the weekend and they'll probably come out in their podcast tonight that they're going to win the league at a canter again. So we'll wait and see what happens.
Davey, one of the things that Adam Keefe said a number of weeks ago, going into the first leg of this, is the fact that he's not been able to win the Challenge Cup in his time with the Belfast Giants, and he's got a real determination to go after it.
Good. It's one trophy. It's one of the harder trophies. It's much harder trophy to win than the playoffs.
Yep.
And we've only won it once. Remember that night up in the Ice Bowl, and was it Mike Burgoyne going coast to coast against Stephen Murphy and Nets for the Manchester Storm? And
Phoenix.
You know, Phoenix as it was, yeah. It's a trophy I'd love to win. It's a rich history, and it's one of those ones that every year we've came so close so many times. We've got the finals. We've lost so many semi-finals. We always seem to do quite well but fall at the final hurdle. Maybe this is just the year. This is the kicker that Kiefer needs to, you know, get that first trophy as a coach and maybe just kick on and do something really special. But, yeah, you know, coming out of Fife with a 3-3 draw is not a bad result by any means, especially as, you know, we ran in that late penalty trouble. And if you'd have given the opportunity to go back to home ice on level pegging and have it all in a one-night shootout, you'd have taken that opportunity. Of course, you'd have liked the lead, but, you know, it is what it is. Fife are playing well. We're playing well. So it's all set up for a nice quarterfinal.
That quarterfinal home leg is on next Tuesday, 7 p.m. at the SSE Arena, and of course again on Belfast Giants TV. You've got a lot of work ahead of you, sis. It's going to be a busy couple of months.
I'm hoping Davey's going to get the stats through to me tonight because I need to get some work done. You're right.
Right, time for the fan agenda brought to us by our friends at Belfast Giants TV. We've got quite a few coming in, so we'll rattle through a few of these very quickly. I'll start with a good one from Daniel McDonald. Do's and don'ts of jersey wearing, Giants traditions, such as brackets, no black on Sundays, close brackets, and other superstitions we've built up since day one. I'd actually go as far, Davey, as to say no black at all. I'm not a fan of the black shirts ever since that game.
No black ever. I had this with Laura Small as recently as the weekend about the black and gold shirts that just, in my opinion, should never have happened.
That championship shirt.
I can see the commercial aspect. She's a very good friend of ours. We love her dearly. She does an amazing job for the club. But, you know, I can see the commercial aspect of it. But those black and gold jerseys, there's no coincidence that they had to be taken off and replaced with our teal jerseys before we lifted the championship that night. And just for me, do's and don'ts, don't wear black ever.
Simon, any do's and don'ts? I'm
the opposite, guys. I like the black shirts. The
irrelevance of how nice they look, Simon. It's the colour of them.
What's wrong with
it? It goes back to that game against Ayr. It goes back to that Challenge Cup game. It goes back to Black Sunday. It goes back to the traditions of the club. Simon Kitchen, the traditions of the club.
Did you not have any superstitions when you played the game, Simon? Like wearing a shirt underneath your shirt or anything like that?
are you trying to entice me in here, do we?
I play football. I have a black sock and a green sock, and I've had the same tile for 25 years. I have superstitions. I'll never go to football without them. We shouldn't wear black.
I never liked calling them superstitions. I had routines.
I
had routines that basically, you know, I always put my left side on before my right side. I always put my left skate on before my.
And what happens if you were forced to break the routine?
What happened? I wasn't.
But what would have happened if you had?
I have absolutely no idea.
So then, why did you do it?
Because it was a routine. It wasn't superstition. It was a routine. It was something that I get used to doing. I just always grab my left skate before my right skate. I always grab my left leg pad before my left elbow pad before my right one. It was just a habit. You know, you're basically out there. I mean, yes, I understand where you're coming from in regards to black shirts. And I tend to like a black shirt. But
the only reason you like the black shirts is because they've got white numbers and you can read them easier. Let's tell the truth.
You try to tell me I need to go to Specsavers, you mean?
Yes. Then you send me down to your car to get your glasses?
That's a fair point. Flip sick. I wish I'd let your tires down the other night.
Right, let's move on to another question now we've hit that point. Rand Donaldson, do we have the best goalie, Wiss, the best D-man, Spiro, and the best forward, Seb, in the league, Simon Kitchen?
I still think Wiss can get better. With regards to, I mean, Davey, you probably should have pointed a little at Davey. The stats don't lie, and his stats could be a lot better. And I think he likes to put himself under a bit of pressure as well and try and do better. Yes, he's playing very, very well. With regards to defence, I would argue with anybody with regards to when Spiro was on his game, is he the best defenseman in the league? He's definitely one of the top three, if not top two. I mean, Hotham's always been good since he came into this league for Cardiff. And, you know, and Jim Van der Meer, of course, and there is other guys there as well. But, yeah, I would definitely agree with regards to, you know, Spiro. And Silvestre, same thing. You know, Sly's excellent player. Some really, really good players in this league. And he's definitely up there, 100%, yes. So all number ones, I would put in a case for them, but I think if you put somebody at number one, it doesn't get them anywhere to go forward. So for me, I'd rather have them number two or number three, wanting to be number one.
David.
Very well succinctly put by Simon there. You know, it's hard to argue. For me, I agree with him on Jackson Wiss. I think Wiss is getting better as the season's going on, and maybe his injuries are healing a wee bit better, and he's learning better recovery techniques, and he's getting himself in. You know, his numbers are improving as the season goes on. You know, he's getting up towards that 900 barrier, and, you know, he'll break through that, and I think he'll go on to be a really successful goalie for us. Spiro, you know, we're talking about Derek Walser when he was here, and I had a bit of a joke with, I can't remember, was it Jeff Mason the other night? We're talking about Spiro and saying, you know, or maybe it was Johnny, he's one of the best wingers in the league. You know, when you're talking about the Derek Walser mode,
Derek,
you know,
Walser, yeah.
rather than the pure D-man, you know, because you look at Vandy as more of a pure D-man, maybe Martinelli is more of a pure, you know, D-man. Martinelli, 10 points through 36 games, Spiro, 37 points through 27 games, you know, he's a lot more offensive, so you have to sacrifice some of your defensive abilities if you're that offensive, because you're in the offensive zone a lot more than you're in your defensive zone. He's strong on the puck. He's got some technique flaws that he needs to work on, but he's only a second, third-year pro. As Simon has put perfectly there, the guy has jumps that he can make.
make to improve his defensive game. So if you're already number one, you've nowhere to go. Although saying that, Stevie Eiserman didn't have anywhere to go. Only people had to catch him. Same with Gretzky, the Mule, those people, when they were number one, they stayed there. So Gouley has fantastic ability. Silvestre, we talked about him earlier in the show, 55 points through 35 games. He's just burning it up. He's got competition for that position within his own team, let alone around the league. You know, Brendan Conley's had a great season. Darcy Murphy's really great in the season. And you've got guys like Sheds and Bryles and Saviano that are all... Ferland missed lumps of the season with injury, and you've great in the face-off circle, a hitting machine. So there's teams around the league that have fantastic players, and we're really lucky that we've got a lot of those fantastic players. And if they turn this season into a great season and they turn potential into silverware, we'll talk about them in March about how good they are.
Michael Owens asks a question that sort of goes the other way. When everyone is fit, should Jarrett be the one who sits out? He started off slow and is getting progressively worse, in his opinion, David. Is that fair?
I don't know if he's getting progressively worse. I actually think over the Christmas period, it was one of his more consistent periods. It's getting as the crux of that question is there, as we get fit. So as we get fit and we have our 6 or 7 D-men to pick from, you've got Vandermeer, he'll sit in with somebody. You've got Kevin Rain, who'll probably go with Cole Jarrett. You've got Gouley and Martinelli together. You know, Vandy generally goes with either Mace or Benny. It'd be fair enough to say that would be kind of the lineup, Sir Simon.
So
they're your kind of... And as you get settled into a routine, if you know you're going to be out with Rainer and you jump on together and you start to get a wee bit of that telepathy together, you know... Cole Jarrett and Kevin Rain's numbers maybe aren't the best because of they go out a lot with our checking line, and that checking line gets scored on more often than your top lines. It's just the way things go. Yes, his numbers aren't great, but I think his consistency has gone up. He's improved. He hits hard as well. He does great off the ice as well as on the ice. And these factors can't always be your statistics. I know as someone who studies stats, that sounds stupid, but you can't always see contribution in terms of stats. Yes, Cole Jarrett is at the tail end of his career. He doesn't have the legs he has probably when he was 21 or 22, but he has to be slightly better positioning than he is at the minute. Makes a few mistakes, but in terms of should he be the one to sit, well, that's Adam Keefe's call to make.
Simon, I think it's only natural when the team are doing so well that some people try to find a way to make it better, or find a way that, you know, what they perceive to be a weak point. Is Cole Jarrett that?
Like, again, Cole certainly know that, you know, he's had bad games and he's had better games. And, you know, for me, I like, Adam Keefe's the coach. He's paid to make his decisions. For me, I would always have Jeff Mason in the lineup. If he's available, I would have him in the lineup.
I agree.
I'm glad that he joins me on the webcast because I think he's great at that as well.
Yeah, he's very good.
But then again, who do you leave out? You know, it's a really difficult decision, but that's what Adam gets paid for. You know, and we're lucky that we've got some really good defensemen in our ranks, and you know, Cole, as I say, he's not the fastest, and do other teams maybe target him and throw the puck into his corner? Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what you want to do. But you know, one thing he does do very well when he's on his game is positional. You know, and he certainly, I feel that Kevin Rain has improved in the last month, because he's been playing regularly. Yes, you know, Davey's touched on that, you know, Rainer and Jarry get maybe a few more goals scored on them because of their top lines get the chance to play against our checking line, as Davey calls. I'd like to think it's, you know, we've 3 top lines, and every line can do a wee bit of everything. But I certainly think that he's progressively got better as the season went on. He has even through a stage where, you know, it was probably making stupid decisions, which maybe got goals against them. But look, again, we're playing well. We are a good team when we're on it.
Agreed.
Yes, Michael likes a wee bit of a you know, to throw in the TFF. He likes a bit of a whinge. He's no anti, but he does like a bit of a whinge.
Nobody is.
Let's concentrate on the positives when we have them, because, you know, we have a very, very good team.
Yeah. I'm going to rattle through a couple more of these because some of them are really good. Thomas McCormick, thoughts on the Belfast Giants holding an outdoor winter classic type event, possibly. He calls some place the Kingspan. I assume that's Ravenhill. Davey, such a I get where he's coming. Obviously, the Winter Classic between Buffalo and the New York Rangers took place on New Year's Day at Citi Field, the Mets Stadium in New York there. And it's such a fantastic event at the NHL, but there's a reason why it only takes place really in the NHL and the KHL. There was a DEL one, but it's cost.
It's cost, and like those games, the Winter Classic games, it's not just one game in the afternoon. There's alumni games, there's college games. You know, that rink will probably be used 20 times in the sort of week or two that it's up. Let's be honest, if it happened in the UK, there's only one club that has the ability to put that on, and that's Belfast. We have proven time and time again that we're the club that puts the NHL teams in the UK. We're the club that brings the colleges over. We're doing it again next year, you know. Colleges, that is, in case anybody thinks that's an NHL announcement. But I just think infrastructure-wise, cost-wise, it's just prohibitive. I know that Robert would absolutely love to give that to Belfast. He would if we could put a nice game. But there's also the factor of the weather in Belfast. You know, in America, in Canada, it's generally America, though. But when it's done, you're pretty much guaranteed it's going to be very cold. And there's a good chance the weather will be at worst snowing, whereas here, you know, drizzle. three or four degrees, pouring with rain. How many people are going to game, and it's going to be very difficult for the players to play in pouring rain, etc. So I just think that not the right country, wouldn't have enough people to go and watch it. Sadly, you know, and it's not something that you could put on 20 games. I don't think the league would buy into it enough to say, right, we've got this rink for a week. We're going to play a whole section of league games here. You know, Steelers are going to play Panthers.
Wouldn't happen.
But that's not going to happen. They wouldn't have the support. Wouldn't have the support of the league. So, you know, with the greatest respect, unless you're going to bring over an NHL game or something that the Belfast Giants are going to be able to play on the same ice that, you know, the Leafs have played the Habs or somebody on the Saturday and the Giants play on the Sunday, it just ain't going to happen. It would be fantastic, but I just think it's cost prohibitive and weather prohibitive as well.
There's another one coming in here, Simon, from John Ford, a guy off the excellent Door 14 Hockey podcast. He says, given the performances last weekend, will we see a split in netminding this weekend against the Steelers?
Again, it's up to Adam. You know, I'd be guessing that whistle start tomorrow, which is Friday, and then depending on how he's feeling for Saturday. But, you know, with Chris Truehill, being an import, and you have to drop an import down, maybe drop the 5D, whether it's Mace or whether it's Benny, and on the 6th day at the minute, you know, again, I don't know, but that decision will probably be made tomorrow morning. But it's an interesting one. You know, I thought Chris Truehill played very well last week. Again, trying to stay in the game. I think he'd be a lot busier against Sheffield, but it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But hopefully, Wes gets both of them, because then if he gets both of them, he's playing well.
Davey?
I agree with Simon, because it's the fact, the biggest factor in the whistle trail is, one, Wes's injuries, and two, we drop an import. Do you want to drop the 5D potentially against the Sheffield Steelers? No, I would always rather run with 6D. I'm always a 6 and 9 guy anyway. That sounds wrong.
Get it together, keep going.
But for me, if fit, unfortunately for Chris Truehill, because I really like the guy, I think he's done well every game he's played. For me, Wes plays the two games if fit.
One last question is directly at you. This is where we round off the TFAs. Directly at you, Davey. It comes from Kirsten Catherine, at Kirsten Catherine. Who does Davey hate more, Belfast International Airport or the Nottingham Panthers?
That's a good question, because
I'm absolutely with you on international airport. It's a shambles.
I can't understand, Paddy, how you can. I tweeted them, says go take your transit people and go and look. Maybe it's an infrastructure thing. Maybe it's a money thing. They don't have the money to spend. Go to Bristol Airport. Go to Edinburgh Airport. Manchester, Liverpool. Look how you go through security. Belfast International Airport. When you get the two escalators on Sunday, they were queued to the escalators. There must have been 500 people waiting to get into the security hall.
I've never seen it that bad.
You go and you pay for fast track security, you pay £3. There must have been 100 people in that queue. And you get through and there's like three lanes open. And when I finally got through and I seen one of security, the guy that looked like he was in charge of security because he had a wee pass and he had a waistcoat and all, and I says, you know, how you enjoying the chaos today, mate? And he went, we weren't really expecting this many people. I said, how can you not know how many people are coming to an airport? I'm sorry, so really getting my nerves. But who was it that asked the question?
Kirsten Catherine. Kirsten.
22nd November 2002. I'll hit them to the day I die. Never forgive. Never forget.
I'm with you on the international airport. When I flew back from the city airport there last weekend after the Caps game on Saturday morning, it's the first time I've actually went into the city airport and found security coming all the way through past that big Tato wall, all the way out past Costa and all the way around. But it moves pretty quickly in the international disaster zone. Anyway, thanks to everybody for their TFAs this week.
No, I'm going to have another rant about the airport before you go, Paddy. The problem is you can turn up at the airport anytime you want. See, if you're late, you get treated better, because if you're late in the queue for EasyJet, they say, oh, anybody going to Bristol here? Right, come on through. Come on through here. We'll get you checked in. Sorry, I know you're no use of all queued up for an hour, but these people are late. That's not my fault they're late. And then you get the security and there's people pushing in. I'm going to miss my flight. Not my problem, yet I got here on time.
Hashtag TFA and join us at AVFTB. Thanks to everybody for that. The games this weekend, obviously the two games against the Sheffield Steelers Friday and Saturday, 7 p.m. The game next week on Tuesday against the Five Flyers quarter final of the Challenge Cup, Tuesday at 7 p.m. Simon, have you got any other business?
Nope, none for me on internet.
What about you, Ms. Jemsey?
Yes, Paddy. I think we'll maybe just wrap the show up with this one. I hope Simon won't mind me saying a few words here, but over Christmas we obviously hope we can do this, Simon. We lost one of our own, and we often talk in hockey about, you know, glue players, and sadly on Boxing Day, a marvellous woman, Pat Kitchen, Simon's mum, passed away. And Pat was the glue that held that wonderful family together, and she'll be really sadly missed, but she'll be happily remembered. I know she was East Belfast loyal, and she'll have served up teas and coffees and buns to tens of thousands of people over 25 years in SD Bells. People that went in that wee shop on the New Norwich Road all know her really well, and she loved her wee house up in the Braniel in later years. And, you know, she was a mum and a granny and a great granny. And as I said, the glue that, and this show is dedicated to Pat Kitchen, and here's a wee song for her to play us out.
Thanks, boys.
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily hide. I don't have much money, but boy, if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no, or a man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're